This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Next time you are so inclined to pop some popcorn, you put the bacon grease in the pan, in the pot. You warm it up and put the popcorn in the bacon grease, and you pop the popcorn, and you prepare for the best batch of your life.
I'll hold your popcorn.
Not necessary.
No, it's no problem. Why don't you want me to hold the popcorn? Because obviously there's a problem
there's
with holding
no problem.
No, there's a little bit of a problem.
It's my popcorn. It's not necessary.
You don't want me to hold the popcorn,
who
right? Because
what?
You think I'm going to eat your popcorn?
All right. Then you got to have a little butter and a little salt.
But you don't have a popcorn maker, right?
No.
The clock's jumping around bigger than a popcorn machine right now.
Maybe it is a popcorn machine.
I got to tell you, like, this sounds like something worth bringing people in. And Mr. David makes popcorn.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You want some popcorn?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We should have more information on that scheduled party next week. We're going to go into the culinary kitchen here at the beautiful Odyssey offices in the Prudential Building.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Friday.
And Mr. David's going.
Any other bright ideas?
Don't you think
you got any other bright ideas?
You were all over it.
I know.
Then you had a look on your face.
I'm playing along.
You're playing along. You suggested it.
You suggested it. We just heard you suggested it. You said this is a great idea.
Well, you brought it up and explained you can't use a popcorn maker.
Well, I'm very particular about my popcorn. You know that.
Yeah.
So
you'd like to share. We
went
know
into
that.
It. Yeah. But it'll be fun.
It'll be good. It'll be great.
Definitely. A man of the people.
Not only that, I got a feeling that we're going to have to figure out a way to get this product on the market. You know what I mean?
You think I could do that?
Oh, I do. I think we know enough people. 312-644-6767.
Start calling now.
If you want a bankroll.
If you'd like to invest.
The bacon grease popcorn. Yeah.
Bacon grease popcorn
David.
Product.
Imagine going to the Jewels and going down the snack aisle, and there's Mully and Haw on a plastic bag, you know, in a big, and then there's like on the ad, I always look for the For You ads and big on clipping the coupons and stuff. And then it's like you buy like this 1 pound bag of popcorn, and then for like $3 more, you get like some Smithfield bacon.
Well,
right? You know, buy one, get a couple bucks off. If you buy the popcorn, you get a couple bucks off the bacon. So you got it all together.
It's not a bad idea. We have probably been involved in things that, in terms of selling products, that made less sense than that.
I mean, as long as we're just running through it, how about I'm dressed like Benny the Bull, and I'm pouring popcorn over Mr. David, who has this look on his face.
I would do that just to get you dressed like Benny the Bull.
Oh, I do that all the time.
To get you in a mascot uniform.
I do that all the time. No need to worry.
Yeah, well, you'll be busy tonight.
It's in his closet right next to the Santa suit.
Actually, come to think of it, have you ever seen Benny the Bull and Mully in the same room at the same time?
Benny the Bull came to a broadcast of ours, and I wore his hair.
Cop on the roof, right? Remember?
Yes, and I had his hair on for one segment.
I behaved. That segment. I behaved that remote.
I behaved. David with the
I was a pro.
Every time Benny the Bull turned around, David gave him a dirty look.
I was a pro, yeah.
I'll show him.
That would be fun.
Did he do something to you or something like
that? He poured popcorn
on a bunch of popcorn, and ever since then, you now despise Benny the Bull?
He was on deadline. You have no idea.
Despise is too strong. Just a little friction there. Little friction.
Just the rivalry.
Yeah. That was a previous Benny the Bull, though. I shouldn't hold it against this one. We have since made up with the previous
mascot person. Like, aren't there three?
He's got to be. Benny the Bull's got to be in the Mascot Hall of Fame, right?
Probably.
Wasn't that in Indiana?
Yeah.
It used to be. It's coming back, I think.
Oh, it closed?
It's closed?
I do think it is. It did close.
There's like a show that goes on the road.
If you are that interested in the Mascot Hall of Fame, I do know some people involved in promoting that. If we could have like a guest, if we wanted to, and
you want to add one more this morning?
Yeah, could we please?
I think we have one hole left.
Please, okay.
Oh, actually, no. Hold off. The midday show needs one more guest.
Okay. Wow. No. How do we get off on this? So, happy Friday. Yes,
we're happy Friday.
Gonna have a good weekend.
Oh,
got a big show tomorrow inside the clubhouse. Bruce has got that booked, and then I'm off for a week.
Yeah, that's it. This is getaway day, even though you got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, well, but I can look at it that way. This is the last day I have to get up this early
for a while.
That's the way you kind of look at it. Is that okay to say out loud on the air?
Sure, you can say it.
I told you, that was the highlight of my couple days off. I got up early still. I have to do a little thing, and then I went back to bed and slept till about 6:45, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, because that's the main point, because you just want to be able to sleep in a little bit, catch up on your rest so you don't wake up maybe feeling a little tired or a little cranky, like you, or sounding like Lance Lynn. You just want to get up and feel rested and ready.
Lance Lynn came out guns a-blazing about the White Sox.
Is he bitter about the way things ended in Chicago? I don't recall him being that bad of a teammate when he was here. He was like the guy that everybody wanted to follow, right? He was the leader, the gutsy veteran, that kind of guy. Now he's just like...
Is that a crack?
No,
gutsy veteran.
No, I didn't even mean that. Didn't even mean that. No, I could go that direction if you want.
I didn't know if that was a crack.
I'm surprised that when he talks about his time with the White Sox, he has been anything but positive, it seems. And this was the latest shot he took at his former employer.
Obviously, Chicago is behind everybody. It's just the honest truth. Like, there's a lot of great people there. But when it comes to top to bottom organizationally, like even minor leagues coming up, I went down and spent a month rehabbing my knee there. And I stayed with the AAA team. And just seeing the way that things were going about and stuff like that, there definitely needs to be some changes. And there still probably needs to be some changes just by going off of some of the things I've heard and seen.
So that's Lance Lynn on the Foul Territory podcast letting you know the Sox are behind everyone. Just look at the standings. The Sox are well behind everyone. The Sox are the worst team in the American League. What happened last night? Did Atlanta finally win a game? Because Atlanta, believe it or not, was 2-9. The Sox.
There's a sense that Atlanta will get better.
There is.
They've got
some players.
The Sox may threaten last year's record for futility.
Well, they're on track.
Yeah, they're on track to. But nonetheless, that was Lance Lynn, who hasn't been a White Sox pitcher since 2023. And I think he was let go or left the organization before. Wasn't he traded before Kenny and Rick were replaced?
Before he started bad-mouthing them?
Yeah. He was traded, but they did him a favor. They traded him to the Dodgers. He was traded to the Dodgers, and I would think that it just seems like a consistent sort of tone with things that he remembers, and maybe it's earned or deserved, but it would seem like it's a long time ago, or at least it's a different regime ago.
You know what the really horrible thing is? He went down to the minor. He went down to AAA. He went to Charlotte, which is like the nicest city you can find in AAA baseball. You know what I mean? It's still a city.
It's a professional sports city.
They have restaurants and stuff.
Charlotte is a very nice place to visit.
I'm just saying.
And it's not like they sent him to, I don't want to even disparage a city, but it's not like they sent him to a very smaller municipality and he had to make do. Charlotte's not.
Did you just say it's not like they sent him to Iowa?
No, I didn't say that.
What did he just say
that? I did not say that.
You're totally creating problems.
You are creating problems.
I was just joking.
But I was just, it's disappointing when you hear stuff like that. Because, and I think you get, and I'm not even a Sox fan, but I do respect the organization and what they're trying to do. Oh. And I think that they're taking on a lot of water right now.
You're the one.
And they seem to be, they seem to be getting the mockery and criticism.
Well, they it's well earned. They had the worst season in baseball history a year ago, and they're following up with like the which they're challenging that already.
Yeah, and that's fair game, Molly.
So
I think
I think they're looking for trouble. Honestly, I don't know how, you know, they keep saying that why would I sell the team? I've got nothing else to do. That's like crazy stuff. That kind of talk doesn't engender much confidence, given how you had the worst season in baseball history and then you cut payroll.
I can see why you would have that point of view. I'm not disputing that at all. I think the Sox are in a very deep hole, and they're trying to climb out of it. And good luck, because it's going to be a difficult climb out of it. But I just think this kind of criticism without specifics is just a little bit on brand for Lance Lynn.
Yeah, and that's fair. You could go after Lance Lynn. I don't feel any need to protect him. I'm just saying, you know, when the guy says they're behind everyone, yeah, way to go, Lance. You figured that one out.
Figured that one out, and that's why I think he left in August of 2023, perhaps, and there was a change made shortly thereafter.
But they are right now on track to challenge last year's futility, which is – pretty extraordinary.
They got to find a way to score runs. There's just no offense in sight. You know, the pitching can be respectable. They can get the good start occasionally from guys in the rotation, but they can't score runs. And now, yesterday's starting lineup, nine deep, five of the starters were hitting below 200.
Yes. And Luis Robert is below 200, and he didn't start that game.
He needed the day off, apparently.
Yeah. But, I mean, listen – let's be honest about it. The White Sox are a punchline. They're a national punchline. Did you hear the thing on the Reds broadcast where they're talking about, oh, now they get the White Sox? Let's listen to this.
Cleveland has already beaten the White Sox 6-1. So that's eight straight losses for the White Sox.
Did you see how the White Sox lost last night?
You told me about it.
Talkman, yeah, came around third, pulled a hammy. He was a tying run, was going to score.
That is a fair ball on the chalk down the line. It'll ricochet back to Abreu, and Roan will be aboard with a base hit with two down. Yeah, the White Sox invent ways to lose games.
Oh, man. The trip to Chicago could be coming at the perfect time.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
They're taking strays from everybody.
But I mean, that's the team coming in.
I believe that ESPN Radio has a segment overnight to something about how will the White Sox lose, or
how they will lose.
Yeah,
yeah.
They are the source of a lot of mockery.
I mean, just think about the last series. They the first game of the series, they walk in a guy. The second game of the series, guy pulls up lame trying to tie the game, and then they get blown out in the finale.
I saw that highlight again last night doing the Chicago lead and watching Mike Talkman round third and just stop. And every time you watch it, it gets a little bit more painful. Every time you watch it, you want to grab the back of your own hamstring because it starts to hurt.
Yeah,
it's painful. But
that's what they've put together. That's the team that is now representing the ownership on the South Side. So you tell me.
Well, I'm not going to tell you how to feel about it, but I just think that
Lance Lynn was out of line.
Lance Lynn can say whatever he wants.
He's piling on a little bit. He's too big to pile on.
He's well, you don't want a guy that big piling on. I'll agree with you there. But it is also dated.
Oh,
previous regime.
Well, I mean, the real losing started after they got rid of those guys. I'm not saying right. they were worth a damn, right. and I'm not defending anyone right. or attacking anyone. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
when you David go through a season where you lose 100 and God no how I mean I forget the numbers now. They lost 170,000.
I think
games.
I'd feel differently if this were Lucas Giolito. If this were a former Sox pitcher yeah. leveling criticism
yeah.
that had to do with the minor league rehab stint, I think I'd feel differently if it were coming from Lucas Giolito than Lance Lynn. That's all I'm
that's
saying.
Fair.
I'm considering the source.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine.
I'm not a big fan.
But I mean, the numbers say that they're going to be worse than they were a year ago. We all made our predictions. We may have to rethink them because they might be worse. That's shocking to say, but... They didn't start – I think their first eight-game losing streak came in late May, and here we are in mid-April.
Yep.
It's rough.
Bleak.
Very bleak.
It's bleak.
And not a lot of hope in the future.
Garrett Crochet pitches Sunday against the Sox yep. at the rate.
No, that's
– Red Sox in town for three, and it sounds like they're laughing.
It's going to be like a Luka game.
Get
your T-shirts on.
I don't think that Garrett Crochet is going to be in tears. And then go out and strike out. You know what they should try, though? They should have a three-minute video montage right before he goes to the mound, and maybe he will tear up and then lose control and walk the first four batters.
Yeah, I mean, just I don't want to pile on the White Sox. They got enough problems. But maybe just run the Luka one. Why put together your own work? Just put together the Luka tribute.
Maybe so.
Have Crochet stand there.
Texter 708. Chris Getz was part of the last regime too, David. He was in charge of a terrible minor league system. I know all these things, guys. I mean, I know you can push back. I'm entitled to not like Lance Lynn's tone when he criticizes the White Sox, where he had a pretty good stint. That's fine. I know everything you're texting in is true. Thank you. Not interested.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about the White Sox. They lost again yesterday. Maybe the Cubs had an off day, so that's why everybody sat
well,
up and took notice.
We should be paying more attention to what is the biggest story in sports, according to our pregame show. The biggest story in sports is the Masters. So
okay.
We should talk about the Masters.
Yes.
But is it not?
No, it's the big tournament.
Well,
I sensed
a small tinge of sarcasm.
I think in Chicago you could make the argument that it's not. And
so
again,
what's the biggest story in Chicago?
I think the biggest story in Chicago.
Draft.
Let's see, NFL draft in 2 weeks. The Cubs going to sit play the Dodgers. The Bulls getting ready for a play-in. Then maybe the Masters, White Sox, and Bobby Rome.
And the Blackhawks scoring four times in the third to win.
Thank
in Boston,
you.
5-3.
Yes, there he was. That was Nick Foligno. He had two goals, including an empty netter. But that would be.
I saw. I looked because I'm always curious. Bedard did have an assist.
I know he did. Yeah, and he had made some sort of history there. With he became the second teenager since Eddie O, I think, to have.
Wow, is that right?
Hit that milestone, but. Yeah, I was just kidding you, Dustin. I know if you look nationally in all the shows, the Masters, this is Masters weekend. I respect that. I don't know if it's the biggest story in Chicago this weekend.
Didn't say that.
Oh, boy.
You did say that.
I said the biggest story in sports. I didn't say in Chicago sports.
Well, we are Chicago sports. I think that's the ad. That's literally the promo. Chicago sports is a score. The score is Chicago sports.
Did Ronaldo belch? That might be the
isn't there?
Story.
Isn't there like a massive soccer game at Soldier Field on Sunday?
Messi's coming to town.
It's going to get messy.
I'm going.
Are you really? On Sunday you're going?
I might go.
Oh. You brought that one back in a hurry.
How many times do you get a chance to see Messi?
On that one. I've seen Messi.
It's a great point. I don't want to be hypocritical. Like if one
career.
Of the greatest athletes supposedly on the planet is playing in your backyard, the problem is isn't it sold out? Do you get to use that MLB writer's card and like flash that at the gate and walk in? I'm just saying. Is Mitch helping you out with a ticket or CHSN? How does David Haw get into Soldier Field? Do you have like the badge?
Yeah, no, a lot of people,
hard,
man.
That hard
no,
badge.
You know people. You know people. I mean, do you want in?
You know, what time's the game go?
I think it's 3:30.
No shot. You know why?
Oh,
because
it's
right. Masters Sunday.
Right. Yes.
Okay, and that's the biggest story in sports.
Okay.
Boy.
If you say so, I'm not, again, this is what we do. We all have our opinions.
It's not Bulls Wizards.
Okay, fine.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Back off, Jay.
Listen anyway.
Catch that on WBBM later tonight.
Tell that to Chuck Swirsky. See?
I'm going to D.C., baby.
Big time onions.
Bulls are a big story because
Bulls are a big story.
They have put themselves in a position to extend their season.
It's a good story.
It's a good story. And you know, if you don't think it's a good story, you're not wrong either. The beauty of all this is that we can have these opinions and they're not wrong. They're opinions. My opinion is that I'm not reserved. I don't necessarily look at this weekend as anything that special because I've never been that interested in the Masters.
Why? You picked you of the three of us, you've got the guy who's right there.
I got all these surname S's. I'm ahead of him by a stroke.
That doesn't mean.
Well, I mean Justin Rose, not to confuse with Dustin Rhodes, does have two S's in his name. So there you go, Molly.
No, but I'm not. It's not just with an S. It's an S leading your surname. You know that. And I would have just had Rory if you'd let me pick him. So it's on you.
Well, Rory shot 70, and then he left without a word.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Without a word,
but
right?
He melted down again in the last four holes.
He had two double bogeys.
Be
right there with Scotty Scheffler.
I know.
Two double bogeys on the last four holes.
They should have.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. How did he explain that? How did he explain missing those shots? Oh, wait, he didn't talk. Hey, poor guy.
Tell him
he wasn't invited
to
the butler cabin.
Grow the game!
It's not growing the game. It's being an adult. Yeah. That's all. It's just being an adult. But this weekend can be fun anyway. The Masters will be interesting.
And we'll get to this stuff. But you know what was great yesterday at the Masters?
It's
Freddie Couples.
Yeah.
Dustin, that's a guy that we have drafted before.
The Eagle.
Various things. That was so cool.
50 plus and shot under par at the Masters.
Yeah. But seriously.
Why do you and Dustin have this special bond with Freddie Couples?
Because back when we'd be in different things, Dustin, we had this long discussion about who plays well in that tournament, and Freddie Couples was a guy that every time you drafted him, you get a good run out of him. He'd make the cut. Freddie Couples at the Masters is a thing.
Yep, it's a thing.
Freddie Boom Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have watched hockey last night. Not the Blackhawks, the Frozen Four.
Oh.
Western Michigan.
The defending champs out.
Western Michigan is in the final. Western Michigan.
Wow, you're kidding.
First time ever. Maction in the final.
Who are they playing?
They beat Denver. And now that coach, David Carl, is available. May the David Carl speculation begin or continue.
And where? Who's playing on the other side? Who are they playing?
I think that's
BU in there
to be determined.
I thought BU was one of those teams.
Well, the Frozen Four has been set, right?
Yeah, but I'm just wondering who they're playing in the final. Not quite sure. But
I need more information.
It's being played in St. Louis. I know that.
That's information.
The Frozen Four is in St. Louis.
That's correct. Yeah.
Good hockey town, St. Louis. Boston, Saturday's final.
BU to play. They won 3-1 over Penn State.
See, Penn State.
Terriers will skate for their sixth NCAA title.
Penn State, first time in the Frozen Four. And BU, my daughter goes there, and she goes to those hockey games. They give them, like if you go to six, they give them tickets. But if you go to six games, you get a T-shirt.
Is she in St. Louis this weekend?
No.
That's,
she's in Boston.
That's Matt Nagy's favorite university.
BU?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember I used to wear the hat.
He's got it laminated.
I had a BU hat, and it was for Matt Nagy.
Terriers.
I'll have to dig that one out.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Go Terriers. What's a hat this morning? Marathon hat?
It's my normal hat. I love those marathon hats, especially when I have to run up from the garage.
You should come out to the Spring Inn and see Carrie and I.
I'd love to come up to the Spring Inn.
You've got a week off, David, so you could Uber out.
I might come out there. 262, this is what I'm talking about. Haw is exactly what's wrong with the Chicago Bulls basketball. Playing basketball is NBA hell. I watched more Masters yesterday than I watched the Bulls basketball since 2011. Okay, I'm the problem, and you have not watched the Bulls in 14 years.
Wait, what area code's not that?
262.
Oh, I'm 630.
You haven't watched the Bulls either?
No, I'm being sarcastic. But okay. I did watch more Masters than I did NBA yesterday.
Well, the Bulls weren't playing yesterday.
I was hoping that the Nets would give the Bulls a little help and take care of the Hawks, but that didn't happen. A scoreboard watching. That's how good the Bulls. The Bulls are so relevant that I was actually following the Atlanta Hawks on my phone while watching the Masters.
Yeah, I think Paul Papps texts in. I'm on a national show. The Masters is the lead today, but yeah. After Thursday's round, there's not a ton of angles. Heat's up today. It's more of a viewing experience. Yeah. Good points. Yeah. I'm not diminishing the national appeal to it. We are a Chicago sports radio show. And in that context, I don't believe that the Masters is the biggest story today. That's all.
It's probably the biggest story Sunday, depending on how things go. I mean,
which is a matter of interpretation.
A Sunday at the Masters, pretty awesome.
But to the point, it is part of the visual and is, you know,
yes.
We all can agree to this. The weather here has stunk. And the Masters is like, usually I'm cutting my grass and I try to avoid cutting it on Masters Sunday so I can have the whole day on the couch. So it's like a Friday afternoon or Saturday first thing in the morning. I don't need to, my grass is still mostly brown.
I know a ton of people that watch the Masters, but most of them are pretty decent golfers or like golf. You might be the only guy I know who doesn't golf but watches the major tournaments the way that you do.
I golf at least one time a year.
Yeah, that, like I said, that is hardly a golfer.
And I probably won't ever golf with you again because when I did, I almost passed away. Sorry, Texas.
The problem was you stepped into quicksand and you started sinking and you asked for help and I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, but that's not my fault.
Springing into action.
See, now that's a golf memory I'd never forget.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was one of the greatest moments ever. His ball went out into this dry lake, and he just turned and like, and he went charging off and then just stuck.
Are we going to have to get these TVs together again so we can watch some golf and be distracted the rest of the show?
We got
to
watch the tournament. All right. It doesn't start till what? 7 o'clock, right? We got another hour.
Got another 4 minutes.
But we got the pick six next. We'll get right to it. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What's your take on the White Sox wrapping up an 0-6 road trip with a 6-1 loss in Cleveland as part of an 8-game losing streak? A year ago, when Jerry Reinsdorf's team produced the worst record in baseball history, they didn't lose their 8th straight until late May. They're currently on pace for a 27-135 season. Are they already worse than a year ago? Would you care to revise your predicted record?
Difficult to talk about, though. The White Sox going 0-6. They had a couple of opportunities to be in games. I don't know that they really had an opportunity to win a game. They could have tied one and forced extra innings, and they obviously avoided extra innings by walking in a run. They're on track for a 27-135 season. Just think about that. That is completely insane, but that's where they're at right now. If you just think about the way they've been losing, and an 8-game losing streak is difficult, even if they were in a couple of those games. As far as my revised record, I thought I was going to have to raise it significantly because I think I had 47 wins, right? And I'm not sure that they're – here's the problem. And you tell me, how are they going to score runs? How are they consistently going to score runs? Most of the professional bats they have on their team are injured right now. Now, they weren't injured throughout the 8-game losing streak, but they've had guys out, and then the guys that are playing are not playing very well. So they're doing better than I imagined with their starting pitching, but the bullpen's still awful, and they can't score a run. They averaged 2 runs a game over this 8-game losing streak. They actually scored 16 runs. And they were shut out, managed a run in a couple of games. I mean, very, very frustrating. And again, you know, you're taking days off the calendar because you know these players are aging. But they can't get old fast enough. You can't get young guys in here fast enough. And you don't even know how many of those guys are actually going to make it. Because one of the big guys they've been waiting for a number of years is batting .088 in the minor leagues.
Help. Yeah, they need some help. Help's a good word for what's going on at the baseball field over 35th and Shields as they return home. They've got a 6-game homestand. The Red Sox are coming in. We even heard in the first segment of the show the Red Sox broadcasters making fun, like, oh, perfect tonic for a bad start for the Red Sox. Well, let's go to Chicago because the White Sox are in poor form. I think I said 60 wins, which I don't know what I was, you know, I must have had a late night the night before or something was wrong with me or I was trying to be optimistic. I mean, based on how they're playing, 40?
40 wins? And to your point, Mully, like the guys that are, you know, quote unquote professional hitters are hurt. How long are they going to be out? They're out right now. And how long will they be out? I don't think Chase Meidroff is going to, you know, be all of a sudden get the lineup in order and everything else. There's an old betting thing with baseball. It's the three up, three down rule. So if you're looking for a bright spot, White Sox fans, maybe jump on board tonight. You know, the White Sox are under minus 200 against the Red Sox. So you keep betting until the White Sox win a game. So you'd have five wins in a row right now betting against the White Sox. And I think ninth loss in a row comes later tonight over at the rate.
Yeah, it's open season on the White Sox. Unfortunately, they don't have a lot of things going their way, and it doesn't look like there's any hope in sight. The offseason was devoted to, if you pay attention to anything positive going on in the organization, it's all about the pitching. And the best pitching is at the double-A level, and some of the young pitchers have been promising, but it's not enough because they never really addressed the offense. And their best, theoretically best player in Luis Robert Jr. is off to a bad start, and there's nobody in the lineup to protect him or to give him any kind of help. You don't have the conversation like you do when you're talking about the Cubs and the impact of one guy like Kyle Tucker making everybody better. There's really not many proven hitters in the White Sox lineup to make better. It's a bunch of minor leaguers or cast-offs that are trying to put together a batting order to manufacture some runs. Tough job for Will Venable. He knew what he was getting into, and there's no real hope in sight offensively. So it's difficult to see this team winning more than 50 games. And that even seems wildly optimistic based on the start that they've gone that they're off to. I ran into Ozzie Guillen yesterday at the United Center. He was leaving. I was coming. And poor Ozzie's like, and he can put it in his own words better than I can, but essentially said, I don't really have to analyze anything anymore. What I'm worried about being is a comedian. I have to come up with good material because to get through this season, he's going to need some really good material.
And again, ask yourself that one question. Are you better afterward?
That's the voice of Steve Stone. He joins Mully and Haw at 8:25 this morning to talk White Sox. Do you feel excitement or pity for Chase Meidroff, the team's eighth overall prospect who has been called up to go against the Red Sox from Boston this weekend? Meidroff has a hitting line of 267-450-600. Can he aid the listless bunch that hit 10 of 60 with runners in scoring position during their current eight-game losing streak?
I'd be excited for him, and he should be excited to make his major league debut. This is a great opportunity. The flip side of what we just discussed is that as bleak as it looks for the White Sox, the players in that organization have to view this as an opportunity for them. Chase Meidroff is the next guy to get one, and it's a big one. He went down to Charlotte because he had a disappointing spring. He took advantage of the opening there, and he has hit three home runs in nine games. He's played five of those games at shortstop, four at second base, and I think he's got some positional flexibility that's valuable to a team that's going to play him probably a little bit of everywhere. Don't think they have a set lineup, but if he's at the top of the order, he can be a catalyst. If he's at the bottom, he can still get on base. He needs to give them a little bit of oomph that they lack. He gets to do it this weekend against a team that traded him. That should be a little bit of incentive, but is making your major league debut should be motivation enough. I'm excited for just the new player coming into the White Sox fold, somebody who is ideally going to be part of the future and maybe part of a White Sox team that approaches respectability, whenever that may be. Hopefully he's here to stay.
I would never feel pity for anybody lucky enough to play professional sports, ever. So there is no pity, no matter who you play for, what town you play in. There is no pity. And David, great tidbit about, you know, a little extra potential motivation for Chase. He was drafted by the Red Sox and now is with, obviously, the White Sox.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Chase Meidroff is a contact guy. He is a guy, he's not known for being a big power guy. He's a guy that can kind of spray to all fields, contact hitter, doesn't strike out a ton. It'll be interesting to see if he can be a catalyst, if that does, adding a guy on base, if that helps them in any way. But he's not protected in this lineup either. And I think he's coming up to play against the team that traded him. he was one of four players in the crochet deal, and it'll be interesting to see what that looks like if he's playing against him on Sunday. But it's difficult to make your major league debut if you don't feel sorry for anybody coming into a team that has lost eight straight and is facing an opponent that's better than them, and that nobody feels has much of a shot tonight, including you, Dustin. So I think that the problem with coming into a losing organization that is in the midst of a losing streak is that you more so than any of the other guys they're bringing up from the minor leagues, this is, can this guy be the guy? Can this guy turn them around? I think there's added pressure on a young player coming up because you think he's going to be here for a while and he could be part of the team that eventually becomes good enough to not lose 100 games. So I have high hopes for the guy. I think it's a tough situation to come into, especially since he was in AAA with Boston last year and a lot of people thought he would be making his debut this season with them, and instead he's got the wrong socks on.
Wow, that's a great question.
What is your read on Jordan Wicks no longer in the pitching probables at AAA Iowa? Could he be pitching for the Cubs in LA on Sunday?
You know, that is sort of what you wonder when you see that he's no longer following Cade Horton and the probable pitchers at AAA Iowa. So that would seemingly indicate that he's joining the Major League Ball Club. Now, I don't know if he's joining as a starter or if he's going to begin helping out in the bullpen, but it would appear that, you're not going to scratch a guy without giving an injury update, right? So it would appear that he's headed to the big league club. I don't think he starts on Sunday, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Well, tip of the cap to Tommy Burch, who covers the iCubs very well. He was the one that said, do with that information as you will, the info that Mully just mentioned that no longer listed as the next starter. It won't be Cade Horton, but Cade Horton had a nice night overall, again, last night for the Iowa Cubs. It won't be Cade Horton. I would, David always wants to say, is everything about betting for you? Yes, I would bet money that Jordan Wicks is the starting pitcher on Sunday. I would be shocked. And the only other way to do it would be Colin Rea does like an opener, does and three, then he follows him. Maybe that's what happens. But then let's put it this way. I will bet money that Jordan Wicks will throw a baseball in L.A. on the actual field of play against the Dodgers. How about that?
Would make sense for him to start and Rea to come in next just because you get a little more of a rhythm that way. And Jordan Wicks is used to starting. So that makes sense. And Sunday Night Baseball, big stage against the Dodgers, Dodger Stadium. The Cubs go into this weekend series. Then if that is the reality, and likelihood it is, they're going to have Ben Brown and Jordan Wicks on back-to-back nights against the defending World Series champions, the best team in baseball. So the Cubs, I'm not sure what they're hoping for this weekend, but I know they want to win the series. It will be difficult because of those two realities. Your two youngest pitchers in your rotation that's been compromised now by an injury to Justin Steele go up against that lineup. So Jordan Wicks, the challenge will be great. I don't think that if he's on the mound starting a game, though, you lower your expectations. If you expected five from your starter under ordinary circumstances, that's what you want to get from Jordan Wicks. So don't limit what you think he's capable of doing. He has been good in spurts, and he's a little bit of a surprise that he didn't make the major league roster. But I think when you go out and get Matthew Boyd and Colin Rea, I think that you and Javier Assad is somebody that you think is coming back. It gets pretty crowded in that rotation. So hopefully Jordan Wicks gets to L.A. Safely. If he's not already there, gets a good night's sleep and starts mowing down Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball.
Well, first question.
The voice of Matas Buzelis. How much of a chance do you give Matas of making NBA all-rookie team? What would that mean in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I think it would mean that he has developed just as the Bulls have designed. And he has been steadily improving. He is, I think, fourth among NBA rookies in scoring since the trade. Right around 14 points a game.
his role has expanded, and he's taken advantage of that. It's more than just the explosive dunks. He's gotten better defensively. If he makes the all-rookie team, it gives him a reward for the hard work and the commitment to improvement. That's always good when you have a young foundational player. So I do think it would be more significant than people might think as just another line in his resume. Remember, this is a guy who came to the Bulls, did not have the college experience, did not have the, well, he was the conference player of the year in this conference or league. He was on the all-ACC team, or he wasn't on any of those things. So something like this might mean more to him than it would be your typical rookie from Syracuse or Duke or Kentucky. So Matas Bezelis, if he could get a reward like this for what he put into this season as a rookie, would just represent more positivity and more progress that he certainly has made.
I think it would mean the world to him personally. I think it would mean a lot to the organization. It would look like a really good thing. I mean, David, that's a great stat you just gave us. I mean, I would actually be shocked if he was not part of the all-rookie team.
I don't know that he's going to make it, honestly, the all-rookie team, because he didn't have the earliest start to it. But I think that, when you think about the way that he's played toward the end of the year, he's been looking pretty good. But I just think that, like, the Spurs have that Stephen Castle. I think he was the fourth pick. He's pretty high on the list. And they got who's the kid from Atlanta? Rishisher. He's probably up there. And, guys like, I don't know, Alex Sarr, Zach Edey. You know, I mean, there's more of these guys than you think there are that are having pretty good years. And I think the fact that he kind of didn't do a lot in the first half of the season could make it more difficult for him to make an all-rookie team. But I think you've got to be pleased with the way that he has come on and the way they brought him along. And I think there's been a lot of stock sold on him, a lot of stock selling by Kendall Gill, and I'm seeing what he's seeing now. So thank you, Kendall, for getting us on board with him.
There's no intrinsic value to this question.
What was your biggest impression of the first round of the Masters? How much did you watch after our show ended?
I went home. I had a lot of errands and stuff I had to do. But when I did get down in front of the TV, I had a Sox game that I watched for a little bit. And then I was watching the Masters. So I was flipping around just as I got some work done in front of the television. But I was running around a lot. I probably went back and watched more highlights when I heard of things than I did just watching the start of the tournament, but I will be in front of it on Sunday. You can count on it.
I also did have it on yesterday.
That's it?
Just don't know like how I should answer the question because it's just another story.
Oh, wow. I mean, so he throws that trap and you wonder why he's... You are really something
special. You don't understand.
Special.
I really don't care how much you like the Masters.
That is crystal clear. I mean, that is 100%. And I've been giving you props all morning about Bryson DeChambeau.
But listen to me.
Congratulations on kicking
over
the golfer.
That the wrong way.
Why limit yourself to
the
Masters?
No, you're taking that the wrong way. I'm not depriving you the chance to enjoy something you consider.
That's kind of a tradition unlike any other. If there's something that I like, I think we go out of the way to poo-poo it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if you feel that way. I don't go out of the way to poo-poo the Masters because you like it. I would go out of the way to poo-poo the Masters just because it's never been something that has been that appealing to me. I respect everybody's right and why they enjoy it. The pageantry, the backdrop, it's calming, Jim Nance, all those things. The tradition. I love tradition. It is a tradition unlike any other. I did not watch anything yesterday. I watched highlights. I got things to do. It's a Thursday. Who's got time on a Thursday to watch golf? Who's got time on a Thursday to watch golf? Tell me that. I do not. I watch the highlights. I like the way they condense everything. You can pay attention to a lot of things because of the way the technology is these days. And I don't want to deprive anybody from enjoying a sporting event, or we can have fun, and whether or not it's the most important thing in Chicago, it isn't. But I just feel like that was the first round. I'm glad that I was as close to the top with my prediction as you pointed out this morning. I enjoyed that a little bit last night. And Justin Rose being on top was a bit of a surprise.
To answer your question,
what did you think of Devin Hester telling Kay Adams he hopes the Bears draft a running back at number 10?
I love that pick. I love that pick that they got OC from Detroit. That's the type of offense we need. That's why I say bringing in another running back with this offense, that dual threat that you have in the backfield, it's going to open up the passing game. And if he can bring in that type of offense, it's the defense will feed off that.
Your thoughts on Devin Hester wanting the Bears to take a running back at 10?
Devin Hester sounds like a lot of Bears fans who are enamored with the idea of Ashton Jeanty becoming a chess piece for Ben Johnson. And it is an exciting possibility. I don't know if it's the most prudent path they could take, but it depends on how they approach this draft. Aggressively risk-taking, because I think it would be risky to take a running back at 10. Based on your other needs and based on the way that you have committed to rebuilding this roster from the ball on out, everything's about the trenches, the 1920 Football Drive YouTube episode, the last time I think they released this week, the last one was about building the trenches. So those kinds of signs, that kind of direction is one you're comfortable with if you think that if Will Campbell is there or Kelvin Banks is there. I saw him mock to the Bears. Maybe Matt Bowen even said that yesterday on the afternoon show. And those are the things that kind of you nod your head, like that's the way you build a football team. When Devin Hester, the most electrifying Bears player of this generation, says that he would get excited about drafting a running back, there are also a lot of people saying, yeah, Devin, me too. So it's just fun to get these guys involved. You love hearing from Devin Hester, and I agree with him. If Ben Johnson wants Ashton Jeanty and he's still there, the possibilities will be very exciting.
Well, if the Bears do take the Texas tackle, as Matt Bowen suggested yesterday with the midday show, just so we're all on the same page, it's Kelvin. It's not Calvin. It's not Kevin. It's Kelvin, K-E-L-V-I-N Banks Jr.
So, like the coach.
Yeah. So guy to keep your eye on. I think the Bears are in an interesting position here. I think they've got, for lack of a better term, cover at all positions right now. I don't think they're in desperate need of, like, they got to have this. Got to be watching on Twitch. Mully's giving me the Jay Cutler bitter beer face right now. They can take the best player available regardless of position. That's what the Bears should do. They could use help everywhere, but I don't think they have one area where they absolutely must. Jeez, really watch on Twitch. And Mully's telling me to get out. As soon as the extra point's done, if I'm excused, I'll leave. They don't have somebody you must take a guy. And if you heard Todd McShay on with the afternoon show yesterday, he mentioned that he believes this is the deepest running back class in his entire 20-plus years of covering the draft. So if he's accurate and Jeanty is there at 10, then I think you have to say to yourself, well, why is he there at 10? Is it because this draft class is so deep? And at that point, maybe somebody wants to come up to 10 and you could recoup a little draft capital, Bears.
Yeah, I like that idea of taking Kevin Banks. That's for you, buddy. With love. Yeah, I like that idea. I like the idea of I don't feel like they go into the season with a viable known entity at left tackle. I just worry about a guy coming off an injury.
What idea do you like, Banks probably or Jeanty?
I like Banks, is what I'm saying. Oh, okay. I like that idea of getting an actual left tackle. And if they, if Will Campbell's gone, here's what I wonder, David, and I do wonder this. Let's say Jeunte goes early. Then, are you, you know, when you listen to Devin, he says taking a running back. He didn't mention Jeunte. So do you take then the next running back on your list? I wonder about that. If you get the best running back, then I'm all for it. But if you're taking a if you're not getting the best running back, if you're getting the next best guy, why not wait and get the third best guy or the fourth best guy in the second round? The reality is the running back isn't the premium position in the NFL anymore, and there were a lot of pretty decent ones that were out there. But I think that what Dustin's on to is sort of what I've been trying to say, is that I don't personally believe they're in a position to take the best player available. I think that they have needs, and I think they have serious needs. And I think that part of the problem is like when a friend of mine is texting me from out of the country who wants to know what was wrong that they got rid of the linebacker who wound up in Dallas with the head coach, you know, Jack Sanborn. And I'm kind of like, well, he didn't run well enough. But he's a great player, and he tries hard, and he was great on special teams. All of that is true. But you want the best, you know, you want the best players at the best positions. You want to have guys that are top five at all of these key positions. That's what you're after in building a team. It's not, well, we don't really need him because this guy's pretty good or that guy's pretty good. You just want to be the best at all these different positions. And I got no problem if you're going away from prime positions, provided you get a guy that is the best guy on the field, the best guy at that position in the league. And that's what we saw last year with the improvement of running games. The reason the Eagles won a Super Bowl is because they went out and got Saquon Barkley, and they added to what they had. And,
well, that's the point.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's got to be the best. I'm saying if it's the second or third running back, I'm not taking the guy at 10. And so if it's Jeunte and you deem he's the best guy, go right ahead and take him. But I think you got to be careful with the depth of this class to understand you might get a guy close to the second guy with the fourth or fifth guy. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to say. You don't get it. You don't get it.
Well, I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
You knew what I was saying.
Yeah, sort of.
No, I didn't say it well. I knew it. All right. Yeah, I hope they get a good player. Extra Point is next. We'll get right to it. Mullion Hall on the score.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie.
But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
Abdul Carter's agent Drew Rosenhaus told Adam Schefter of ESPN that the stress reaction in Carter's foot is healing, has improved since it was checked, and will not require surgery. How could the news affect the draft? Will it affect the Bears?
Well, Dr. Rosenhaus did put that out there yesterday, that everything was going to be fine with Abdul Carter. I would want to see the medicals. I would still want to have my own team doctors give a very thorough examination of Abdul Carter to know whether or not he would be a candidate for surgery. How long will this stress reaction in his foot linger? Is it something that's going to go away? Or will it require surgery and a screw inserted in his foot? These are big questions. If there are no concerns, then he will be one of the top three players selected. That could affect the Bears in a couple different ways. If it is the Giants, then they will still they will take him off the board. But you wonder how many quarterbacks will be affected by that if they take Abdul Carter at three rather than a quarterback. And if they take him at three, does that mean the Browns took a quarterback? The way that this all affects the Bears is obviously at 10, you would like for there to be one quarterback taken. If there's one quarterback taken before you draft, you wonder if your pick will be up for auction if you're Ryan Poles. So someone will come down and trade up to get to put themselves in a position to draft the second quarterback. If there are two quarterbacks taken ahead, then you're probably in a very enviable spot. If there's three, you're in a perfect spot. Abdul Carter going third to the Giants would mean that there's less likely of a chance of there being three. Jackson Dart wouldn't ascend that high. And you're probably right, business as usual. So it does have effect on the Bears. Abdul Carter, to me, is the most pivotal player in the first round because of the first 10 picks being all affected by where he goes. And he also could have the highest ceiling of any player drafted, provided he stays healthy.
David, I thought you put it excellent there, Dr. Rosenhaus telling Adam Schefter. I mean, it's just, you know, classic representation, right, of a guy. I was of the opinion, and we talked about this once or twice, probably either in the pick six or the extra point, that unless the foot was really, really bad in the medicals, I think even like surgery and a pin being placed in, I'm not saying I would have wanted the Bears to have done this. I still believe he would have been picked before the Bears picked at 10. Now, it might have been 7 or 8. Somebody might have come up, but I still think he was going top 10. My concern now for the Bears and how this all plays out on, what is it, the 24th, so 2 weeks from yesterday is the NFL draft up in Green Bay, is that I'm worried there might only be one quarterback selected before the 10th pick, which means that, you know, better position. You know, the Bears are not in need of a quarterback. I think that's what we know, that they're not taking a quarterback at 10. That's, they're not going to do that. But if only one quarterback goes, and that would be with the number one pick, all of a sudden, one of those best available players, it's a notch down. Now, best case scenario is somebody does move up for the quarterback, plural, and all of a sudden three quarterbacks go in the top nine, and now all of a sudden the Bulls are, or the Bears rather, are sitting in kind of a catbird seat, if you will, and then they just have to make the right pick.
I love this kind of stuff. I love kind of playing fantasy football with it, because one of the things that could happen, Dustin, if a quarterback isn't taken and there is only one off the board, like one of the teams that passed on a quarterback, let's say at three, might be willing to try to trade up and get one at 10. And if there's a run on the bank where a bunch of teams are kind of in that position, then all of a sudden you're going to get something of value. And you might be able to move down, still get a really good player, and then the strength of the draft is in those middle rounds. You pick up an extra pick there, you might get someone who could really help your team. So we'll see how that works out. I think that as far as just the Abdul Carter news is concerned, I think he's going to go before the Bears pick, one way or another. I don't think he's going to last till 10. And so I think that that's probably a guy that when you put this stuff together, you say, well, this guy can fall provided they take him and they take him. So as long as he's taken, then you don't really, there's not a really strong decision to have to make. But I'm always interested in how the quarterbacks are evaluated, because there are definitely, the value of the position is so high that those guys tend to be overdrafted. And since you don't need one, I'm all for the idea of three of them going in the first 10. And that just drops a better player to you that you would definitely take there. But I don't know that, I don't know how they feel about a trade down. It makes sense to me. Still get a pretty good player, but we'll have to see how it turns out. I the more quarterbacks taken early in the draft, the better it is for a team that took one last year. That's kind of my take on it. And I don't think Abdul Carter will be there. If he was, it'd be a miracle. But I think somebody will take a chance with him, and I think that he'll be gone too. So that's how it impacts the Bears. It's another guy perhaps moving toward them. And I really hope they get a good player. And I will say again, I'm not done with the line of scrimmage. I want them to continue to take players on the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. That's it. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
114-109, Bulls with 52 seconds to go. Bill, how do you play this now? Do you play it out? Do you foul? What do you do?
Well, they're going to play it out right now, but they're running out of possessions. Miami
Hero with the strip and a steal with a pull-up topside three. No. Rebound, Herter. Oh, my. Herter races over the timeline. Herter in the paint. In the right corner, a three by Madison. Yes! Onions, baby onions. Timeout, Miami. Mattis Vasilis, the rookie with big time onions. You gotta love him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the Score. So the Bulls play tonight against the Wizards. And that is a game that you can hear. The pregame will start at 6:45. It'll actually be on News Radio 780, our sister station. And we know the Bulls are favored in the game. They are minus 16.5. The total's 236. If the Bulls win that game, the Atlanta Hawks right now their magic number is 1. So if they win tonight at Philadelphia, then they will be the 9 seed. That's their magic number for the 9 seed. So the Bulls look pretty locked in.
Yeah, it's locked in. It looks pretty obvious that they're going to be in the 9th spot.
The Atlanta is the 8th seed.
The Bulls look like they're going to be hosting the play-in game on Wednesday.
Right.
And tickets are on sale now for a potential Bulls home game in the play-in tournament, round 1. Go to bulls.com/postseason for all things Bulls postseason, including info on tickets, watch parties, and much more. Dates and times will be confirmed by the NBA, but it's looking like Wednesday, and it could be the Heat again. The Bulls go into action tonight, the last home regular season game.
Yes.
Two teams this weekend, which they actually and absolutely should beat. So if they do that, they will finish the season in all likelihood having won 15 of the final 20 games with a 39-43 record that would be not better than last year, but not worse than last year. The exact same as last year. They have been
incredible,
running in place.
Well, and you feel with other people, though, right?
But you feel better. I think that's the takeaway, is that they are the exact same team record-wise that they were a year ago after 82 games. And I think that if you're paying attention, you feel very different about that 39-43 record. And because this team has finished strong and they're fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Here's the thing. I don't even know. Like, they will know their fate probably tonight, because if Atlanta does win as they are favored to do, mm-hmm. and the Bulls do win as they are favored to do, then they will be locked into the ninth seed, and they'll be hosting that game against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I would then wonder what your plans are for the Sunday game.
Well, your plans
against Philadelphia.
Based on the way that you reacted to the last time you called in sick collectively against the Cavs, I think Billy Donovan would want to play starters on a limited basis against the 76ers on Sunday. I don't think you want to give everyone the night off because they had their rest. They came in Cleveland. That was their sabbatical. I think if you win tonight and you go into Sunday, regardless of the stakes or circumstances, you play again on Wednesday, you need to stay sharp.
You play a half?
Yeah, maybe a half. Maybe the first, again, it's like the NFL final preseason game or the last regular season game going into the playoffs if you're so lucky to be there. But you maybe play the half in the first part of the third quarter just to break a sweat again, just to continue that muscle memory. I don't think that you want to go in to next Wednesday, a win or go home scenario, having not played since Friday night.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's
so probably fair. Billy Donovan knows what he's doing. I'd be disappointed if they did that, unless there's an injury situation involved, and I don't think that there would be. Because that's a case in point. Kobe White was rusty half of the Heat game,
yep.
and didn't really feel it. And you never know with a shooter that streaky what taking another night off might do. So
he was under 20 for the first time in forever.
Yeah, and playing against the 76ers, they could probably beat them regardless of who they play at home, because the 76ers have been mailing it in for months. But I would play everyone.
It'll be fun tonight because hopefully you get a feel for exactly what their place is, and then you know you're playing Wednesday at home, and that'll be a fun game.
Well,
too.
You want to finish strong, winning 15 in your final 20 games, going 15-5 over that stretch, and what you've been doing how you've been playing since Zach was traded is significant and is something that you look at big picture and you have to be very happy about.
All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.